move on to the second case of the day, which is Mercatus against Lake Forest Hospital.
May it please the court, counsel. I'm John Tully for Appellant Mercatus. This is an antitrust case. The defendant LFH prevented entry to the market through a multifaceted anti-competitive campaign. There's no question we had a reduction in output and higher prices as a result of exclusion. We've established that LFH has monopoly power in the relevant markets. The only difficult issue here is the scope of Norr Pennington immunity. We're seeking reversal of the district court's summary judgment ruling under Norr Pennington. Mercatus is a small startup company founded in Lake County, Illinois, to support independent physicians and lower costs in healthcare. Its business model was to develop physician centers to provide comprehensive physician services, namely real estate, business services, and lower cost outpatient services, including imaging. The new company was off to a promising start in 2005, having opened its first physician center in Vernon Hills, Illinois, and having signed a 5-center strategic partnership with a major health system, Evanston Northwestern Healthcare. Mercatus encountered a health system in LFH that was hostile to Mercatus's entry into the Lake Bluff market, which is in very close proximity to LFH's main hospital campus. LFH intended to and did thwart Mercatus's entry. This was done by way of a multi-pronged campaign, which was successful and substantially damaging to consumers and to Mercatus. LFH successfully prevented entry through an attack on my client inside and outside administrative hearings before the Village of Lake Bluff Board of Trustees by misrepresenting the impact on LFH of Mercatus' entry, including by wildly understating LFH's substantial wealth while wildly overstating its commitment to charity care, and in large part by pulling my client's physician partners out of their Mercatus deals.
With all of this overstating and everything to the various bodies, the legislative bodies, all this stuff, this things that you're objecting to, where they're exaggerating their I guess, generosity and diminishing their, I don't know what, it seems that you don't like the process that's going on, but it seems that it's targeted at the zoning and legislative people.
Yeah,
Lobbying, I guess we call it.
After I lay the foundation, well, I'll go right to it. We advanced two primary reasons for reversal here, and one of them, we did suffer injury inside the process, and that's our alternative argument for reversal, in that we believe that these proceedings in front of the village were administrative as a matter of law, as opposed to legislative, in which case the various misrepresentations by LFH before that body are not protected under NOR. But our primary argument for reversal is that we suffered injury separate and apart from the Lake Bluff process. We had injury outside of the process, and You know, the scope of NOR immunity depends on the source of the restraint or monopoly at issue, and that source must be governmental, not private. And on this record, especially in light of the so-called LFH physician strategy, where they pulled all our tenants out of deals, the source of this injury is private.
Let's talk about a couple of things here. Let me first ask you about your alternative argument, where you're trying to argue that the Lake Bluff process was administrative rather than legislative.
Sure.
You're relying on some state law cases that classify the special use process as administrative for state law judicial review purposes, correct?
Correct. Both special use and site plan type approvals or denials where the municipality is...
May I ask you the question?
Sure.
All right. My question has to do with a more recent decision under recent legislation. The case is Condominium Association of Commonwealth Plaza against City of Chicago, 924 Northeast 2nd, 596 at 608 and 609, where the Court of Appeals addressed a 2006 legislative change which specifically provided any special use, variance, rezoning, or other amendment to a zoning ordinance adopted by the corporate authorities of any municipality, home rule or non-home rule, shall be subject to de novo judicial review as a legislative decision, regardless of whether the process of its adoption is considered administrative for other purposes. Are you familiar with it?
I am. That actually, Judge, that's a matter of Illinois statute. It's 65 ILCS 5/11-13-25. What the Illinois Supreme Court held in Clarin versus Village of Lisle was that municipal bodies act in an administrative or quasi-judicial capacity when those bodies conduct zoning hearings concerning a special use. That holding remains good law. That is not impacted by the Illinois statute as set forth in Condominium Association. The only thing the statute does is it relates to judicial review of the determination of the body on administrative review.
Well,
but for all other purposes...
It says it's legislative. Would you agree... Let me just tell you what bugs me about this problem is, if I understand this correctly, the decision here about the special use permit was a process that allowed ex parte lobbying of the decision makers. Is that right?
There was some ex parte lobbying.
Okay, and that's not illegal, is it?
No, it's not illegal.
Okay. And the decision makers are entitled to rely on any information they want, aren't they? It's not a closed administrative record, is it?
With respect to the special use or the use approval, that's correct.
Okay. And they're basically allowed to decide as well whether we think this is a good decision for the sake of the whole community, right?
On special use.
Right. Okay. That all sounds pretty legislative, I got to say.
See, the kind of the oddity of this case is that there were two approvals. One on a site plan in which, in a site plan approval, the VLB, as we call them, they need to adhere to strict criteria. Seven criteria they're set forth in the appendix.
Right, but you lost on both, right?
Well, we lost on both, but we've claimed from the outset that the use approval was a sham with no basis under the municipal code of Lake Bluff or the zoning code. What the parties, I'm not saying we agreed below, but in the court below, we essentially agreed that this site plan approval was administrative or quasi-judicial because it bears the indicia of being quasi-judicial. There needs to be detailed findings of fact.
Right.
There needs
to be all these criteria. I'm asking you about the special use permit,
right,
sir.
So, as we set forth in our briefs, it's just how the special use was, which we call a sham, merged into the site plan denial, and all the same misrepresentations were made to the same panel in the same hearing chamber. And what the defendant tries to do is segregate statements made in conjunction with the use approval where they claim that they have free rein, and they didn't make any misrepresentations. But on the site plan, they had free rein to do anything. On the site plan, they were constrained, but they made no misrepresentations in connection with that approval. And so, you know, the courts recognize that line drawing between the spectrum of activity that's legislative on the one hand and administrative on the other is quite hard to, it's tough to do, and the district court recognized that. Here, I think it's especially tough because we have one proceeding which has all the makings of a quasi-judicial proceeding, in which case the misstatements aren't immune under Knorr-Pennington. And then we have this other sham use approval. And so...
Why is it sham?
Because the medical use, the Mercatus medical use on the Shepherd site was an approved use in that zoning district.
The defendants talk about the intervening amendments to the ordinance. However, why aren't those sufficient to justify at least having the village board consider those issues?
The amendments to the special use?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a special use permit on the property, but my client wasn't subjected to the special use. The existing parcel was used as a car dealership, which was not an approved use in the L2 district. So the special use, we had an approved use. We didn't need a separate development and use approval.
Does the Knorr-Pennington immunity, therefore, depend upon that question of Lake Bluff ordinance law?
Well, I think...
Whether that was required or not?
I think we you don't necessarily have to reach that because we have the site plan approval would be quasi-judicial, in which case the statements to the board in that regard are not immune. And then as a matter of law, proceedings like the site plan are quasi-judicial as a matter of law. In addition, cases from the Northern District, for instance, they hold that when a municipality is ruling specifically on plaintiff's parcel and not enacting a broad prospective law, that also is administrative. So we believe that in light of the entirety of the proceedings in front of the Lake Bluff Village Board, those should all be deemed administrative, in which case the lies and misstatements to that body are not immune.
You're
if I could turn
rebuttal.
To our...
You're into your rebuttal time.
Yep. I will just briefly talk about our primary argument for reversal in that the campaign caused antitrust injury separate and apart from any VLB decision. And as I stated earlier, that's because the source of the injury must be governmental, not private. The intent of the defendant here was to inflict injury outside of the process by way of the physician strategy. LFH placed zero value in achieving a favorable decision before the village board. Zero. Its executives' documents and testimony show that they believed that this vote by the VLB was not an impediment to thwarting our entry, time and again. And actually, and so the intent of the parties shows that, and what actually happened here it demonstrates that as well. In early 2007, this is not about the Shepherd site. It's not about a building. There are plenty of buildings. But we had no tenants. We had no anchors. We couldn't enter at any site. And that relates to what we refer to as the deer path option. After going through the VLB process and getting an unfavorable ruling, we desperately tried to enter into the market by optioning a medical office building in Lake Bluff called Deer Path Medical. Well, we couldn't enter the market because we were dead with the physicians. We had no tenants. So we suffered injury separate and apart, and that's the testimony of LFH's own folks, separate and apart from the VLB process.
And that's the injury, I guess, you're trying to pass on to the consumer.
Consumers also suffered harm.
Well, yeah, but that's where we've got to get to, isn't it?
And harm in the market.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy. Mr. Tully, rather. Mr. Marks for the defense.
May it please the court, counsel, I'd just like to highlight a couple of facts quickly to address the question of whether or not Mercatus's claimed exclusion actually harmed competition on the one hand, and those facts are also relevant in the event that you ever have to get to the merits, which was our third argument that Judge Manning never had to reach because she ruled properly that Lake Forest Hospital's conduct was protected by the Knorr-Pennington Doctrine and that the plaintiff, Mercatus, had suffered no antitrust injury as a result of any of what they refer to as non-lobbying or non-petitioning conduct. First, about Northwestern Lake Forest Hospital. It provides diagnostic imaging services on its hospital campus in Lake Forest, but it's only one of seven competitors offering those services at 14 different locations within a 15-minute drive of the hospital at the time that this lawsuit was started, and that's relevant to the question of whether or not Mercatus's inability to develop its physician center at the specific Shepherd Land site that it wanted.
Do you want to go straight into the market definition problems then?
Well, if you want me to, I'd rather focus on the Knorr-Pennington, and I just want to highlight, if I can, the fact that there's no effect on competition that resulted from this alleged exclusion.
Well, that's the market definition issue. So you tell us what you want to talk about. So.
Well, I think I'd like to focus on the Knorr-Pennington issue because I think you understand it. I think you've got it right, but I think that Mercatus's counsel attempts to confuse it a little bit. And there, let me come back to and clarify the nature and reason for the two separate approvals, the development approval and the site plan approval, that were two separate approvals that the Village Board required in order for Mercatus to be able to develop the Shepherd Land. There were two separate approvals required because the Shepherd Land was governed by, Judge Hamilton, as you pointed out, a special use ordinance that was amended a couple of times that provided, essentially, no further development of the land can be undertaken without Village Board approval, and no additional or further usage can be made without the Village Board's approval.
You read those as applying to any kind of use, even if it would otherwise have been permitted under the zoning?
Except to the extent that lots 4 and 5 were being used for an auto dealership or the parking lot associated with it. Yes, that's the way we read it. And because Mercatus's proposed physician center was not an approved use, it constituted further development or additional or further usage, which subjected it to the special use ordinance and the need for development approval in addition to the need for site plan approval, which was otherwise required by the village's zoning ordinance. There's no dispute that the construction of Mercatus's proposed physician center on the Shepherd land would have had an adverse financial impact on the hospital. The only dispute is how much that financial impact was. I think Mercatus said it's $675,000. The hospital projected the effect of the construction of the center on that site at $2 million. The only issue is whether or not is how much it was. Also, I want to point out, because again it goes to the question of whether or not there's been antitrust injury here or only potentially harm to Mercatus, with respect to Mercatus's agreements with North Suburban Medical Associates and Lake Forest Medical Associates, the two physician groups that it intended to anchor its physician center on the Shepherd land, those agreements were both contingent on Mercatus meeting certain milestones, which it did not meet. And those milestones, the one that I think they didn't meet was they were required to begin construction on the physician center by, with respect to Lake Forest Medical Associates, October 1st, and with respect to North Suburban Medical Associates by November 15th, 2006. Mercatus didn't meet those milestones because it didn't obtain the requisite development and ultimately site approval to build the facility. As a result, in any event, I think, North Shore Medical Associates terminated its agreement with Mercatus because the hospital made it a better offer from a business perspective. The hospital had a right to compete to keep physicians on its medical staff in medical office buildings that it owned or operated, and that's what it did when it learned that North Shore Medical Associates was contemplating a deal with Mercatus.
As you know, the plaintiff is arguing that those negotiations were, in essence, themselves abusive because the hospital made promises that it didn't keep. Why doesn't that present a genuine issue of material fact?
The record reflects that the hospital made three promises to those groups, and I think the record reflects that it kept or was in the process of trying to keep all three. One related to access to electronic health records, and in fact both of the physician groups were allowed to beta test the electronic health record system. One of the groups, I think there was a promise made to sublease or help them with their lease in their facility. They were trying to do that, but they hadn't come to a final agreement yet. With respect to one of the groups, they were going to help recruit a primary care physician. The difficulty was they were having difficulty finding a primary care physician to help recruit to the group. It wasn't that they weren't trying.
Have the doctors asserted that the hospital has broken its promises or breached those agreements?
The doctors never did. The doctors had been in negotiation with the hospital to try and address the issues and fulfill the promises.
But promises are binding?
I'm sorry?
You agree those promises are binding on the hospital?
The promises are binding, and I think the hospital's trying to reach agreement with the physicians to do that. That's not the reason, however, that the physicians terminated their agreement with Mercatus. I mean, North Shore Medical Associates terminated its agreement with Mercatus because there was one of them that needed money back from the deposit, and I'll tell you which one that was. North Shore terminated its agreement with Mercatus because the hospital made a better offer than it thought from a business perspective. Lake Forest terminated its agreement with Mercatus because it needed cash from its deposit, and it had doubts that Mercatus would get development approval from the village board. And, of course, ultimately, it didn't. But turning back, Judge Hamilton, to your question about whether or not the non-lobbying activity affected competition and resulted in the termination of any of the agreements that Mercatus had with either the physicians on the one hand or potentially Evanston Northwestern Hospital on the other hand, this court has held that in both Sanderson and Shakahar that one competitor's statements about another do not violate the antitrust laws. Put another way, commercial speech, which is what the hospital was engaging in when it negotiated with the physician groups to retain them at the hospital's medical office buildings, even if it was false and misleading, and it wasn't, the hospital entered into agreements, is trying to pursue the agreements with them, isn't actionable under the antitrust laws. And so the district court below found, when Judge Manning evaluated whether or not the hospital's non-lobbying conduct created a basis for an antitrust claim, that at worst, the hospital's conduct, and of course we disagree with whether we engaged in any anti-competitive conduct, at worst, it was only unfair, impolite, or unethical. And that doesn't give rise to an antitrust violation. It may create an action in tort, but it certainly doesn't give rise to an antitrust violation. And so when you look at the record below, what you see is with respect to, again, this non-lobbying conduct, and here what Mercatus is alleging the hospital did is it made disparaging statements to physicians in the community. It purportedly attempted to deter Mercatus's entry by contacting other hospitals on a handful of occasions and talking with them about Mercatus. And the third prong of this non-lobbying conduct that Mercatus complains about are the hospital's efforts to maintain its relationships with the physicians we've been talking about, and Mercatus claims that conduct all resulted in excluding Mercatus from the marketplace. a couple of things to bear in mind. Mercatus was competing in the marketplace. It had a facility in Vernon Hills, which is less than 10 minutes away from Lake Forest Hospital. The only issue was whether or not they were also going to be able to have a facility on the Shepherd land. Now, Mercatus wasn't excluded from the marketplace. There's really, to come back to one of the first points, the relevant market here is much broader than Lake Bluff and Lake Forest. And so
let's
they weren't
talk about that. I understand that if you're asking me to do some amateur economic analysis, there's been a pretty serious attack on your expert's credentials on that subject. Could you address that point? Because it looks like we've got Dr. Durkin saying we've got a very narrow set of service markets and geographic market here, and we've got your guy. Who is he, and what did he say?
Mr. Pizer, mm-hmm. who didn't render. We're not putting him out as an economic expert, Your Honor. And frankly, we don't think we need an economic expert in this case.
We want us to do it ourselves.
No, I'm not suggesting that you need to do it yourself. All I'm saying is if we get to the merits of whether or not the plaintiffs can prove the elements of their antitrust claims, the third part of our brief, mm-hmm. Mercatus's expert opinion doesn't create a genuine issue of fact because this court has to look behind his opinions, behind his naked opinions, and analyze the foundation that he has for them, which is what Mid-State Fertilizer requires. The hospital is confident that when the court does that, it will see no record facts to support Mercatus's expert opinions that either there's this physician services market or the geographic market that's comprised solely and exclusively of Lake Forest and Lake Bluff. And let me tell you why. Mercatus' expert admits that Mercatus thought it would receive more than 50% of its imaging business. And, of course, imaging is one of the two relevant product markets that Mercatus claims it was excluded from outside of Eastern Lake County. That Eastern Lake County is Lake Bluff and Lake Forest. But nevertheless, that expert proceeds to pronounce Eastern Lake County as a proper geographic market. Under the precedents that this court has established over and over again, if you're going to define a relevant market, whether it's product or geographic, you need to look to the where it is that consumers can reasonably turn in the event someone's... Well, the evidence demonstrates that even Mercatus thought it was going to be drawing more than 50% of its patients from outside this market. That clearly suggests that the relevant geographic market that Mercatus's expert is proffering here doesn't meet the test. And likewise, he disregarded the fact that the hospital doesn't even provide many of the comprehensive physician services that Mercatus says comprise the market before concluding that the hospital is a monopolist in the market. It's not clear to me, and I think it shouldn't be clear to this court at all, how it is that a competitor can monopolize a market when it doesn't offer services that are included in that market. And Lake Forest Hospital doesn't offer, it offers billing services to an outside vendor who, by the way, is located in Ohio, but it doesn't offer IT services, it doesn't offer most of the services that are being included in the relevant markets that the plaintiff has demanded, that Mercatus has demanded. So to come back to your question, there's no need for the hospital to pay an expert $1,000 an hour to rebut Dr. Durkin's testimony when the facts do it all by themselves. And that's the reason that we're not concerned about whether or not Mr. Pizer is qualified as an economic expert. Your Honor, we think that there really are just two issues here, whether or not Norr Pennington insulates the hospital's legitimate lobbying of the Village Board in the context of the development approval process, which was legislative, from antitrust immunity. We think the answer to that is definitely yes. There's no question but that the development approval part of the process was legislative for the reasons that you discussed with Mr. Tully. No evidentiary record, no sworn testimony. The Village Board was clearly able to make a decision on what, for whatever reasons it wanted, to deny Mercatus development approval. And once it did that, you never had to get to the site approval issue because without development approval under the special use ordinance, site approval was not going to be an issue at all. So it's clear that I think Norr Pennington immunity applies in this case. The sham exception doesn't apply because, as we know, professional real estate investors tells us that there are two elements in order to be able to characterize lobbying activity as sham. The first one is that it has to be objectively baseless. When it's successful, because the hospital's purpose here was to lobby the Village Board to deny the development application, then it can't be objectively baseless. It was successful, not objectively baseless, and as we say, the misrepresentation exception doesn't apply because of we're dealing in a legislative setting. For all the reasons in our brief, and as I discussed today, Your Honors, we respectfully request that you affirm Judge Manning's decision granting summary judgment to the hospital and bringing an end to what really is nothing more than a zoning dispute.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. Mr. Tully, rebuttal, and how much time? Let's make it two. And
Thank you. As far as these better offers to these physician groups, I think the record shows that these so-called promises, in their own documents, they put promises in quotes. These promises were extended to extricate these folks from deals they had with us. And
did you meet the requirements of those contracts? We've got the argument that it's undisputed that that you guys failed to meet the milestones.
Well, I don't think the record shows that those were the reasons for these folks pulling out of their deals.
Why don't you answer that question and then go on to explain it?
There were target dates in the agreements with the physicians. What's that?
Were they mandatory?
No. I mean, there's a wish list target, any development.
So if we look at the contracts, we'll agree with you that there was just a wish.
I believe so.
Not a binding commitment by Mercatus.
These are the milestones that we intend to meet. As far as Sanderson and Shakahar, we distinguish those cases in our brief at page 30, 31. We don't believe this is just commercial speech. Here we have exclusion that wasn't present in either of these cases, and we have these pretextual promises to these physician groups. As far as the so-called battle of experts, we decidedly have the advantage in that regard. We have a University of Chicago faculty member, a PhD economist, who performed the relevant tests that courts and commentators bless for defining markets. He defined the markets to be comprehensive physician services and imaging in Eastern Lake County. They have
How do we get a geographic market that small? And, doctors' patients drive 15 minutes.
Right, but the markets are driven in almost exclusively by where the doctors are located.
Okay.
And there's no – consumers believe that these were the closest substitutes, Mercatus and LFH, in that market for both CPS, comprehensive physician services, and imaging.
Thank you, Mr. Tully.
Thank you.
Case is taken under advisement.